Introducing the future of driving with Ford electric vehicles now available at Jim K. Ford. Say goodbye to gas stations and hello to efficiency with electric power that delivers a smooth and silent ride. With advanced technology and smart features, you'll experience a whole new level of convenience and connectivity. And with Ford's commitment to sustainability, you'll also be doing your part for the planet. So come on down to Jim K. Ford today and test drive the future with Ford EVs or visit us online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln,
we say yes!
Big news around here, James, in that the Senators have signed winger Vladimir Tarasenko to a one-year contract worth $5 million. How bad is your agent, by the way? This is a six-time 30-goal scorer in the NHL. He had 18 goals and 32 assists for 50 points in 69 games split between the Blues and the Rangers last year. Right. And how bad is your agent? You're a UFA. Start of the summer, the Senators offered this guy a four-year contract worth $5.5 million.
Yep.
By the end of the summer, well, it's not end yet, but by the time this went down, the Sens got him for a one-year contract worth $5 million. So 3 years and an extra $500,000 in each of those years. So no surprise that he decided to fire his agent, and this is how he came out on the other side. But no, it's a nice pickup for the Sens. They lost to Brinkett here in the offseason. And they have replaced him not quite as well. Maybe a kind of a double-headed monster replacing DeBrincat's stats, because they brought in Kubalik from Detroit in the actual trade, and he's not a bad scorer. And then they used the money they saved with not having to re-sign DeBrincat by bringing in Tarasenko. So I think between the two of those guys, they probably do replace the offense here. So it's going to be interesting, though, because this is a guy that's had three shoulder surgeries. So you always worry about that, particularly here in Ottawa, when they've already had so many guys on this team, particularly up the middle, who've dealt with shoulder problems in the past, like Josh Norris, who missed most of last season, Shane Pinto, who missed the entire season the year before, and Ridley Gregg, who's had a bunch of them since the World Juniors. So if everybody stays healthy in Ottawa, things are looking good, but that's a big if.
Every athlete, Steve, every sports star, you have to have an agent. I understand that. All of them, Steve, would say, what's the number one thing you want? And they would all say, I want term. Okay? I want term. What about money? I don't know. But we're not starting anywhere until we have a 3 or 4 year deal. Mm-hmm. And then we'll look at the money. No problem. Let me get that done for you. Okay. There's no term. Well, wait a minute. No, I want a term there. Right. I get you 1 year. I didn't mean term in 4 or 5 months of a deal, you know.
Yeah, misunderstood me a little bit here.
So I don't know if is it fireable. You never know, Steve. Right? Some of the players, right? No, I'm not taking it. You know.
Well, throughout the Alex DeBrincat thing, I was in contact with the DeBrincat. Well, let's say I was in contact with a good source who's close to the DeBrincat family. That's how I presented.
Yeah. Okay. All right, that's good.
But they
Mrs.
were
Mrs. DeBrincat. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But the deal was he was totally hands off. And I understand the good majority are. Like if you want something, you got to get yourself involved in it. It seems to me like most of the stars, and DeBrincat would be a great example, they're just basically saying they're going to do whatever the people they trust, the people that they're giving sizable commissions to, they're just going to go ahead and do it with whatever they say, you know, give them give a rough outline. But sure. If I were a player, like I would want to be involved in everything. Like even if it's something my agent suspects I might not like, I would still, if an offer came in, I'd want to know what that was. I would want to be all over it.
But
DeBrincat, for one, had absolutely nothing to do with anything beyond saying, if you get me out of Ottawa, that would be great.
Right. Right. I am nowhere near that, Steve, but I had Larry Kelly did one of my radio deals.
Yeah.
Right. And so I phoned him up and, you know, I thought it was too ostentatious to go to the radio station and say I had an agent. But then I sort of got convinced because the first time I did my own deal, I went. Okay, this is how much I need. And immediately Mayhew stuck his hand out and said, okay, great. And I went, okay, how much fucking money did I leave on the table there, right?
Right. Yeah, we've all been there.
So I thought, wow, this is crazy. You know, that's a fucking big time here. I phoned Larry. He said, I'm not. Yeah, sure. I'll do it, Jimmy. I'll find out what your job's worth. And then he got back to me, right? And he said this and that and the other thing, right? And I was overwhelmed. It was fantastic, you know? And so then, Steve, I thought maybe I should high roll it a little bit with Larry. Okay. So he told me, I was more than happy, Steve, with whatever he negotiated. Okay. I was more than happy, Steve. So then he hangs up. I said, thanks a million, Larry, you know? And I phone him back, right? And go, hey, listen, Larry. Have they presented any opportunities, for example, for me to endorse some products, maybe perhaps get a car? And if you can, I'd like you to get back to them and see if they could set me up with a golf club membership somewhere. And then I go, oh shit, we got disconnected there. Our line, right? We got this. Phoned him back. Sorry, Larry, must have had a disconnection. No. Fuck off, Jim. I hung up on you. Like, who the fuck do you think you are?
Yeah.
You know, shut your fucking hole, you fucking wannabe, you know?
Yeah.
And in the end, you know, he said, look at, you know, go buy your own golf club membership. I got you the money, you know, yeah. Go get your, you know, and I mean, I was way full of myself, you know, when you look back at it. And he admitted, you know, Larry admitted, that the only job of an agent, Steve, is to get your money.
Oh God!
Is to get your money. It's not to look after your fucking family. It's not for my phone to be on 24/7 and you to call me and shit like that. You know, that's the raw fact, right?
We don't. It's take weird emotion. I don't get how these guys look after more than, you know, half a dozen clients at once. You know, just some of these guys have like a stable of clients, and I know they too have a stable of employees under them.
Right.
But I mean, when it comes to July 1st, for example, there's so many guys, good players, that have their hands out and yeah. They're looking to get paid. They're looking for good situations where they have a chance to win. And like you said, term and money, and they want their agents to be exclusively focused on them and not their junior partners. They want right. the agent to be yeah. looking into this stuff. And it wouldn't surprise me if every once in a while for these agents that some things get lost in the wash, that yeah. Certain players get overlooked for whatever reason because they haven't been because they've been preoccupied with other more important clients. So who knows? Maybe that's what happened with Tarasenko here with Ottawa.
Yeah, but those guys are stars, right? Those guys are stars. So to do an agent, you know, to get an agent and do your deal, you know, if you're a gunner. Right. There's no issue to yeah. making a deal. There's going to be no issue. It's going to be this minimum. We may get this out of it. I mean, fuck, what do you want to do? It's a lottery. Okay. You've arrived. You're done. You're going to make 8 million. You might make 9. They might offer 7. Right. It's going to be like, are we okay here? Can we order another glass of wine and we'll figure it out?
Yeah.
Where where it's, you know, the guys who are making the 700 or 800 grand, Steve, right, are going to go into negotiations and you know, if I'm one of those guys, I'm going, okay, don't fuck this up, okay? Right? Don't fuck. No, I think we can get 1-2, you know? Yeah, but what if they say no?
Right.
Right? What if they say no and I got nowhere to go? Like, you know, any other team's going to go, why didn't they sign that guy for 950 grand? Mm-hmm. And then go, well, let's just go to, but there's 20, 30 other teams out there. Yeah, yeah, and they're not going to sign you for more than that either, you know? Right? It must be. Must be awful, right?
Yeah.
So
now back to your thought. You were talking about Mayhew, and he basically said yes to your first, yeah. kind of your opening salvo. Right. I had the same kind of drill. The nice thing Mayhew did was that he didn't come back and tell you what he was willing to offer. Because right. when you get that part of it, it's nasty. Like my boss, when I became the sports director of what was then CKBY and Oldies 1310, right. I rolled in there. This is my first Ottawa job, and Dave right. Schreiber had just left that sports director job to move over to CFRA because the Sens had just arrived in town. So they needed right. help at CFRA with Gordy Wilson and Dean Brown. So yeah. I slide into his role. I get the job, and I like you, I jumped at the first thing. He said, okay, great, shake hands, boom. And I was thrilled. And I could have gone on feeling thrilled, But 2 months later, he told me I was authorized to give you $50,000 more than you actually settled for.
Oh, no.
Why would you tell me that?
Well, you can't say that.
No.
You can't say that.
That seems way over the line to say that.
The best
story.
And
by the way, I wasn't making $50,000 at that stage. So
I could have got you $60,000 instead of $10,000. Oh, wow.
Brutal. Yeah.
The best ever, Steve. I was selling real estate when I first started as a young realtor, and I brought an offer on a house that had a different listing realtor, but he was my friend, a guy named Danny McGillis, who since died, but he was kind of a mentor of mine in the real estate game. And coincidentally, I ended up doing, hey, Danny, I got this offer on a house you have listed. Danny was a crusty Irishman. Anyway.
Do I get an Irish accent in this story?
No, there's no Falcon accent, Steve.
All right.
Okay, just stand down. All right. So anyway, typical back in those days, Steve, you couldn't do, there was no internet, right? There was even fax machines had just come out, but you still couldn't do deals by fax.
Right.
So if you had an offer, you went and presented it. It was like $160,000 for the house. And if the guy took the pen himself without you looking, started to scratch shit out, you know, like, then you go, whoa. Every time you change that, I got to run over to the other, you know, the purchaser now and get that initial. So stop doing it. But they had me, Steve, and Danny being a veteran, they kept making these little changes and grinding. And I don't want to sell the fridge and go back with that, bring it up $5,000, change the possession date. So it was like 5 or 6 days of me running around back and forth, getting initials and getting counter offers and all this stuff. And, you know, Danny is going nuts. Okay. He goes, I'm going to kill this guy. Okay. I mean, you know, not literally, but you know, I'm so sick of this dude. Right. And I'm kind of, you're sick of him, Danny. You're the prick who has me running around all over the place. Right. But Danny's like, this should never happen. Right. I'm about to tell him to do this. Anyway, we finally closed the deal. Okay. We finally get him a deal. He grinds us. I got to throw in $1,000. Danny has to throw in $1,000. The purchaser throws in $1,000 to close this $4,000. It was just like, oh my God, you know, we finally get it done. And Danny's sort of half-heartedly thanking the guys, you know, shaking his hand. And as we walk out the door, you know, the deal was say $180,000. And as we walk out the door, the seller has the audacity, Steve, to go, good work, fellas. Good work. You know, well done to get the 180. And you know what? I would have taken 172.
Oh,
right?
Jeez.
Danny stops dead in his tracks and turns around. Now, I've seen Danny fight. I've seen him fight. Like he's a shirt and tie guy, but he stops and turns around and he says, I beg your pardon. And the guy, I'm going, fuck, here we go. And the guy says, oh, I would have taken 172. So way to go on the 180. Danny goes, oh, that's interesting. Cause I could have got you 195.
Oh,
beautiful. Move, Stevie. Beautiful. Mic drop. See you later. And walked out the door. Nice. Never, Steve, never do you say I would have taken this or, you know, never, ever, ever. You do a deal, you move on. So,
yeah. Well anyway. Said. But you're in a hotel right now up in Sudbury, right?
No.
No. Oh, okay. Where are you?
I don't know, actually, this time. I changed.
Well, I don't know where you are, but can I submit that the plant or whatever that is to your left behind you right now?
My left.
Your left behind you.
Yeah,
like,
I'll show you.
Like what it look? It. I mean, is that like some kind of sperm tree? What is that?
How did you know that?
It's like some kind of microscopic head thing. What is that? What's going on there?
You're not going to believe me, Steve, but you're going to say it yourself when you ask, "What is it, Steve?" It's a pussy willow.
I see. Yeah, it looks more like that.
See?
Now that you're close up. Now, this is useless for our audio listeners, but for those of you who subscribe on Patreon who are enjoying this, was that the doorbell or did you just bang that thing?
No, I just banged it on the thing.
Anyway,
that's how doorbells were invented, though, I bet. The way it
was. Yeah. Just... But that would be right on brand for you to be doing a podcast with some kind of sperm tree in the background. So and again,
not being a sperm tree, but actually being, you know.
Yeah. That reminds me, video is available for our Patreon members only. So, stevewproject.com if you want to see a link to our Patreon page. And one of the great perks is that you get to see that tree here in this episode. Oh, what a perk. What a perk.
Looking for a vehicle that's environmentally friendly and fun? Look no further than the Ford Mustang Mach-E, available now at Jim K. Ford. This electric car will have you laughing all the way to the bank with savings on gas and maintenance costs without giving up excitement and performance. And with zero emissions, you can finally breathe easy, literally. So if you want a car that's as exhilarating as it is eco-friendly, come down to Jim K. Ford today and take a spin in one of our Mach-Es today. Visit us online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln,
we say yes!
If you're looking to buy or sell your home, the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team can help. Glenn helped us sell a home a couple of years ago and did so much for us, including staging, which is crucial these days. He gave us a great painter to work with, a cleaner, even bought new ceiling lights for us, all to make sure the home was looking its best on picture day. All part of his services, and he can do the same for you. Visit Glenn at glennwalton.com. Are you watching any of the Women's World Cup?
I did.
Yeah?
I did.
Which one? And, the last Canadian game?
I'd love to see it. It's too bad Canada's not in it, but I'm keeping a close eye, hoping for Japan.
Is this take written by ChatGPT?
I think so.
Okay. Too bad Canada's not in it. Okay, good. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, otherwise, you'd have a much bigger audience. Steve.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, I'm watching it. I see. I read a little headline you sent me. I think they're... I don't know if it's good or bad. I couldn't tell. I think they were, last I looked, had they tied a game and won one?
Well done. Well done. I thought this was going to be another episode of, what did I call it earlier? I can't remember.
Yet another thing Jim doesn't know.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Yeah.
It's news to Jim. That's it. It's news to Jim. But that's exactly right. Canada's got a win and a draw so far. And they need a... Ideally, would like to get a victory over Australia. That would be kind of nice. A tie would do it, I think, as well. Mm-hmm. No, not necessarily. Anyway, it's a three-way logjam. Two teams will get through. Canada and Nigeria have 4 points. Australia has 3. There we go. We're not an update.
That puts Canada and Nigeria ahead of Australia, Steve.
I know. However, Canada plays Australia next on Monday, and loss to Australia would put the Sens. Canada in a world of hurt, and so we'll keep an eye on that one. But I've enjoyed the two matches so far.
Oh, I love it!
Unfortunately, if Christine Sinclair actually buries her free kick in the first match, we're not even talking about this. Canada's already through, and then Australia ends up losing. Surprisingly, they're the 10th seed in the world, and Nigeria is number 40, and somehow Nigeria beat them in the second games. So. That's coming up on Monday, and that'll decide if Canada gets through or not. And I have nothing more to say about the Canadian national women's soccer team right now.
I'll tell you, Steve, you've come up with a new category, a new segment,
mm-hmm.
You know, in the spirit of putting together a very relatable show every day on the Steve Warren Project. We look at segments, you do emails and Patreon, stuff like that.
TV-wise, close it out, because we like to give people every once in a while a bit of our insight as to shows we've watched, movies we've seen. I thought it was pretty good. I really didn't have any expectations for it. My wife picked it out, and she said, I think you'd like this. And she watched the first 5 minutes. This looks like a movie you'll like. And so I came in and watched it with her. And it was actually Ray Romano's directing debut. He's done some stuff for TV, but it was his first movie directorial effort. Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was Ray Romano plays kind of this meek, mild-mannered father of a teenage son. His wife is Laurie Metcalf from Roseanne fame, and he's basically living vicariously through his son, who's a basketball star, but he's borderline autistic in terms of his social skills, doesn't say much of anything, and basically Ray Romano is part of a family, an Italian family in Queens, construction company, and he's basically run over by his dad and his brother within the family business. and the brother's played by Sebastian Maniscalco, who's a complete jerk in this role, but I like everything Sebastian Maniscalco does in general. And I thought it was pretty good. It was one of those slice of life movies. I thought it was going to go sideways where, you know, the kid was going to turn into a school shooter or something crazy like that, or something bleak, but it never did. It stayed very light, and I quite enjoyed it.
Wasn't Maniscalco in another movie I've seen with Robert De Niro?
Yep. Something About My Father. I forget.
Different movie, though, right?
Yeah.
Stevie.
Yes, sir.
There was a really weird Ray Romano movie where he had a blow-up doll.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, look that up. Look that up. Like, he had like a mechanical or a blow-up doll that he was his wife, girlfriend that he brought with him. It was a relationship between him and his daughter. It was so strange, man.
Yeah, it was HBO Max. It was called Made for Love, and it's all about Ray Romano's relationship with a sex doll.
Yeah. Yeah.
That came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you got to watch it. It's kind of like, what the frick? Yeah.
Anyway. Well, honestly, if you told me that Ray Romano's character in Somewhere in Queens had a blow-up doll somewhere, I would absolutely believe you, because he was a badly flawed character in this one as well.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Let us call it quits there.
Of all the movies to remember, Jim, was that the only one?
Yeah. Yeah.
You couldn't go with Serpico or something.
Yeah. It seems like you're in a hurry to get off the podcast right now to go off and
stop.
Do something. Why is that top of mind, I wonder? I'm glad the video portion is cacked out on the podcast here.
Shit.
Nice.
See you later.
We'll leave you to your own devices.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see ya.